This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Eliminate bags under your eyes in minutes with Instantly Ageless from GCNLife.com.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
They're going in the right direction, but still elevated. Fewer than 2 million American unemployment claims were filed last week, the lowest weekly total in over 2 months since the pandemic began. About 1.87 million workers filed the first-time claims last week, and that's 250,000 fewer than the previous week. The total number of people claiming benefits as of last week, just under 30 million, and that was a decrease of about 1 million from the week before, suggesting some people are getting back to work despite the ongoing pandemic. Former President Barack Obama speaking out about the George Floyd protests.
I am urging every mayor in this country to review your use of force policies with members of your community.
And former President Jimmy Carter says people of moral conscience have to stand up and say no to a racially discriminatory police and justice system. And this is USA Radio News.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
The public will be able to mourn the death of George Floyd at two services scheduled for later today. An attorney for the family of the man who died while in Minneapolis police custody last week says the Reverend Al Sharpton will deliver a eulogy at the North Central University service in Minneapolis that starts at 1 p.m. local time. And at about the same time, a service will also take place in Brooklyn, New York, where Floyd's brother Terrence resides. Google is getting sued for $5 billion. The suit claims the tech giant has been illegally tracking people's internet use while they're in private browsing mode, a potentially major privacy violation. The complaint was filed in a California federal court saying Google tracks people's internet use and what they look up online through several different methods, even if consent is not given. Wall Street slightly higher so far, with the Dow Jones up about 77 points. This is USA Radio News.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now, and as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
A high-profile GOP lawmaker says protests are one thing, but looting and riots are not, as USA Radio Network's Tim Berg explains.
As protests continue across the country after the death of George Floyd in Minneapolis, many people, including senators, are calling for peaceful protests as opposed to some of the violence and looting that we saw over the weekend. Texas Republican Senator Ted Cruz says protesting is okay, but looting and violence are not.
Every American has a right to speak and to peaceably express your freedom of speech. What you don't have a right to do is engage in violent rioting. What you don't have a right to do is loot. What you don't have a right to do is light police cars on fire and attack your fellow citizens. And we need law enforcement to be unequivocal that if you do that, you will be arrested, you will be prosecuted, and you will spend a very long time in jail. And we also need systematic law enforcement targeting and Antifa and other terrorist groups that are organizing, that are providing assistance. This is a terrorist assault on our country, and rioting cannot be tolerated. It needs to end, and it needs to end now.
And Walmart is taking firearms off the sales floors in some of its stores as protests over George Floyd's death lead to looting in some places. The company saying yesterday that guns will still be sold in those stores, but they're being kept in secure rooms until further notice. And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Why have thousands of aspiring authors teamed up with Christian Faith Publishing to publish their book? Because Christian Faith Publishing is an author-friendly publisher who understands that your labor is more than just a book. We provide authors freedom and flexibility throughout the publishing process, professional book editing, award-winning design, and some of the highest royalty structures in the publishing industry. And as always, you will retain 100% of the rights to your book.
I was looking to find a company that I could trust, one that assisted in the editing process completely.
The most important qualities that I was looking for was a publisher who was honest and upfront, no hidden costs or fees, and owning the rights to my own work.
Christian Faith Publishing will publish, market, and sell your books in all major bookstores, online booksellers, as well as specialty Christian bookstores. Call for your free author submission kit.
800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. That's 800-978-4811.
Hey, we're back with you 6 minutes after the top of the hour. Bill Martinez here. For more information on the show, go to BillMartinezLive.com. Well, America, you have a choice to make. You know, as we've been saying, there are moments and time and choices that are so critical. And again, we're at that critical tipping point, where we have an expression happening out in the streets, and it is a movement in and of itself, and a movement at the very core of it is about control and power. That's what this is all about, ladies and gentlemen, if you think not. I mean, we've got differing factors that you can get confused by, because we have Antifa, we've got Black Lives Matter, which are probably more colluded and more united than you realize, and what others are going to talk about. Even Senator Ted Cruz, he mentions Antifa, but he doesn't quite mention Black Lives Matter, like as if that's verboten. But all it takes is just a clear look of the results of their policies and actions and what they're trying to do, and you can see that they're more aligned with Antifa than they are with anybody else. And then you have the third aspect of who is out there, and those are the protesters, the ones that Senator Cruz is saying has a right. I mean, constitutionally we have a right, you know, to protest and let our views be known. But certainly when it comes to destroying property and stealing from others and killing people, that deserves a consequence. And we have laws that are supposed to protect us. I said supposed to protect us. What? Well, Americans have no idea, speaking of which, because, as I say, this is all about power and control. And there are some people right now, and many that you will find in supposedly higher institutions of learning, which, could possibly be a bit of an oxymoron right now when you think about the results. But anyway, Americans have no idea what it is to have a true psychotic leader. Rulers like North Korea's Kim Jong-un, Iraq's Saddam Hussein are recent figures that come to mind really you have to put on the level of mentally ill. But how do they compare to leaders in the past who took psychotic to a whole different level? With us right now is the host of the popular podcast History Unplugged, Scott Rank, who has written a new book on these insane leaders, and he picked a top nine, I'm not sure why you stopped at nine, maybe because you just didn't have enough pages left in the book, Scott, but there's nine nonetheless.
Yeah, thank you for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Well, no, good to have you here. So what drew you to these nine first of all, I mean, this is something you talk about on your podcast, History Unplugged, and so these names kept recurring, and as you consider the evil that they perpetrated, they made the list, right?
Right, and like you said, it wasn't easy to stop at 9, and you mentioned in your intro that we live in crazy times, and there's many people in our political class that we would think about naming to this list. And if it's possible to imagine, when we think about the 2020 election, people say Joe Biden has early onset dementia, people on the left will say things about Trump. It could be worse. What if Joe Exotic from Tiger King were your president or emperor? Right. What if there are no constitutional checks and balances? Well, then you get someone like a recent president in Turkmenistan who had a 80-foot-tall golden statue that always rotates to face the sun. So it's actions like that that made people make the list in the book.
Mm. Well, and that's the thing where we can be grateful for the Democratic Republic you have. The Founding Fathers' idea, which was quite revolutionary compared to previous rulers and ruling governments, they turned the organizational pyramid upside down on its head, refused to accept and desire a king. We thought that we would have a representative government in the form of a democratic republic, and this was all new and a great experiment. As I remind people, Scott, it wasn't like we had 1,000% on the idea. From day one, we had antithetical forces, and those antithetical forces have metastasized. They have amended themselves to the point that here we are, we're dealing with two very serious entities in Antifa and Black Lives Matter.
Yeah, and if we just give over to mob rule, this is what happens. If a ruler is thinking to themselves, well, if I just appeal to the mob, it can really feed into their own narcissism and delusions of grandeur. So.
And that's what's happened in the past, though, Scott, right? I mean, that's what they did. That's how they captured rulership in some cases, is they appealed to mob rule, and then they came out as the lone survivor or the last man standing.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, this goes all the way back to Emperor Caligula in Rome, who's the first person in the book. And if you think about mob rule, he tried to bypass the Senate and the aristocracy, so he would openly insult them by doing things like appointing his racehorse senator or leading the army on an expedition to England and then stopping at the shore and turning back and basically doing it to pump up his ego. So. Directly appealing to mob rule is one factor that I think gets repeated over and over again. So it's good to study history just to see how dangerous that is.
Mm-hmm. And so he's number one. Were these in any specific order? I mean, like, this was the most egregious of the insane rulers. Is that why you started with Caligula, or you just wanted to say Caligula?
Yeah, well, when I say insane, I'm using the legal definition, which means a mental illness of such a severe nature that a person cannot distinguish fantasy from reality. So sometimes that's not so deadly. You could have Charles VI of France, who thought he was made of glass and could shatter at any moment. Other times it's not so benign. Then you get people that are dangerous, like Idi Amin in Uganda or Kim Jong-il in North Korea, who said that the first time he golfed, he shot 5 holes in 1 and hit 38 under par. But essentially also thought that he and his family were divine. So sometimes it's not so dangerous. Sometimes you truly get someone who's a psychopath, like you said, and doesn't think anything of killing his own people.
And Donald Trump says, and they say, I cheat in golf? 5 hole-in-1s. This is like, let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, if you haven't played golf, there are some people who have been playing all their lives, never had a hole-in-1, much less 5 in one round, and being, what, 36 holes under, he said?
Yeah, 38 under par.
38 under par. Well, I mean, hey, if you want to go for it, you might as well just create the record. I mean, he's Tiger Woods has nothing on him, that's for sure.
Well, and it's easy to laugh at that, and but I think with people like Kim Jong-il or other more modern rulers, our own political class, politicians we really don't like and we think almost live on another planet, have the potential to become like that when there's nobody who tells them no.
Exactly.
Thankfully, we still do have a free press, but imagine an out-of-touch celebrity or an out-of-touch politician. What if they could arrest people that criticize them? What if they could execute people who criticize them? Mm-hmm. Give this enough years and enough decades, and I think this type of person could happen in any place in any time. So there's nothing special about the DNA of your average American politician, but it's the pushback against them that I think prevents them from going off the rails.
And what if you have a silent government operating in the shadows that could do everything they could, you know, in their power to change the effect of a election?
Yeah, exactly. And I think it's the chilling effect of people who don't speak up.
We got to go to break. We've got more from Scott after this.
I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Attention gardeners, if you need to grow nutritionally dense vegetables or medicinal herbs this year, listen, because a bioactive superfood for plants is now available. This all-natural superfood for plants is so effective at producing maximum plant growth in minimum time that it almost forces plants to grow even under the worst light and soil conditions. It's called ProtoGrow, and it's truly remarkable. Vegetables grow faster and contain more bioavailable vitamins and trace minerals. Plants that rarely bloom will flower constantly. Sickly plants become vibrantly alive. Medicinal herbs become super potent. Flowers become more vivid right before your very eyes. ProtoGrow also improves the taste quality of all your garden vegetables. That's because it's more than just an all-natural superfood for plants. It's a proprietary blend of bioactive sea nutrients that contain the basic building blocks of life itself, which is why ProtoGrow even renews your garden by increasing the microorganisms in the soil. Learn more at growlikecrazy.com. That's growlikecrazy.com. Get special pricing for network listeners right now at growlikecrazy.com.
We've all seen and perhaps use the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you noticed how it dries your skin, and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam, meeting or exceeding all requirements set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration. Come to GCNteam.com, keyword antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-536-4436. That's 800-536-4436. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-536-4436.
Here's Don Schenk with today's global update from the Tide Ministry, sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ on the radio in 27 languages.
Churches around the world are experiencing social distancing measures due to COVID-19, and worship centers in Zimbabwe are no different. Many Zimbabwean pastors face a great disadvantage because they do not have the technology or the expertise to broadcast virtual services or recorded sermons. But the Tide Ministry is helping to provide a path for pastors to reach their congregations while they're unable to meet. The Tide Partners in Zimbabwe are working with pastors who do not have the means to video or broadcast church services by having them phone into the studio to record sermons and prayers, which are then broadcast to their parishioners and an even wider audience at a time when the hope of Christ is desperately needed.
For more information about how the Tide International Radio Ministry is helping pastors in Zimbabwe to connect with their parishioners while also reaching new listeners, visit thetide.org. That's thetide.org.
Keeping the spirit of Don't Tread on Me alive. Bill Martinez, live.
And we're discovering history's nine most insane rulers. Scott Rank is with us. Scott hosts a very popular podcast, History Unplugged. So he talks about these sort of things, about other things in history, too. Scott, have you always been interested in history, or is this something you developed in the latter years in the midst of a midlife crisis, or what?
Yeah, it started when I went overseas, and if you go to the old world, things are older than America. I think what I like is it's history. It's not those who do not know it are doomed to repeat it, but I see it as a laboratory of human experience. So this isn't the first pandemic we've ever gone through. People have gone through it before. What can we learn from them? What can we learn not to do? People have rioted before against, there was protests against an injustice, but when you get into rioting, what happens? Well, we have historical examples, so we should know that this isn't going to solve things. And so that's what I try to do. Anything contemporary we face, we can get an idea of what's going to happen. So really important to know, to have that sense of things.
Yeah, we shouldn't be that surprised. I mean, really, and that's, I imagine for you, it drives you nuts when you see us trying to, I don't know, reinvent the wheel in a way when we've had enough empirical evidence to say, okay, this is how you tap down riots. This is how you bring it under control. We've got enough passive, because there's really nothing new. These modern day riots, they're the same as all the riots, as far as what I can look at in terms of their, you know, their basic outline, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's not going to be more moral than previous riots or previous mobs that came across. The same people have their businesses damaged. And that kind of repeating you mentioned, what got me the idea to write this book about most insane rulers, because after Donald Trump was elected, there were thousands of psychiatrists who signed a statement that he was constitutionally ineligible for office because of his poor mental health, even though they hadn't personally interviewed him. And I thought, what is that based on? That he says things on Twitter that raises eyebrows? I mean, that's compared to people who are truly mentally deranged. I mean, there's just no context at all for, I mean, how bad it truly could be. And we've had presidents who fit the definition of clinical depression. So, there's just no, I thought that was completely out of context for what they were saying.
Well, and this is what's so worrisome about this, especially in this cancel culture in which we live in, Scott, is that, look at it, they feel like you're not part of the parade and you're not marching in step with them. You're invalidated, and they're going to use every mean possible to get you out of the way. And this is what they've been doing from day one with this president. I mean, you know, and not a big surprise in a sense. I mean, you had people on the right trying to do the same thing with Barack Obama. And then we had, you know, before that, George W. Bush. I mean, you know, and so, you know, it's whatever sticks and whatever is the vernacular of the day. In this particular case, for Donald Trump, it's, well, he must be mental. You know, and but when they, you know, but nobody, including the media, sadly, gives you any kind of post report. It's like, okay, fine, all right, you can get the comments of people saying he's mental, but you know, let's take a look at the fruit of the decisions and the statements he made. Like, for example, when he said he was being wiretapped. Well, they took grave except wiretap. That's the wrong, you know, there's no such thing as wiretapping, you know, and that kind of deal. And then you find out later it wasn't exactly wiretapping, but it was a form of surveillance that they did. But because he used the wrong word, all of a sudden he's crazy, right? And that just all feeds into this convenient narrative for those. And it distances us from the truth. And this is why history is so important, is that hopefully we can look back in the rearview mirror of life and discern and pull out of it the truth, so that going forward, the decisions we make are all the wiser. In chapter 2, you talk about King Charles VI of France. How crazy was he?
Yeah, he had some genetic problems. This is why monarchies aren't a great idea when you put your son on the throne, regardless of how well he has it together. He thought he was made of glass. He told his advisors, "You can't wear shoes around me. You have to tiptoe when you come to me because I might shatter." He refused to bathe because he thought that he could also shatter in that way. Mm-hmm. The best I can make
soap will cut you. You got to be careful. Soap is very funny.
I think he thought that because this was a pretty common delusion in the Middle Ages, the people thinking they were made of glass. Glass was a new invention than clear glass windows, and preachers and priests would use that as an analogy of cleanliness and holiness, be like glass. And I think some people heard that, and because they couldn't distinguish fantasy from reality, it's sort of like people who claim that they were abducted by aliens, that they watched the movie, they watched the B movie from the 50s, and something they saw on a screen, they have fake memories that actually happened to them. So mm-hmm. I think this is a similar thing with Charles. And wasn't so good for France. They almost lost the Hundred Years' War with England. So don't be ruled by someone who thinks they're made of glass, I guess, is the moral of the story there.
Exactly. It's only Hollywood celebrities that are made of glass these days anyway. So I think that's been predetermined. We've got the Russian Tsar, Ivan the Terrible, right? Number three.
Yeah, he was maybe you could say a high-functioning sociopath. He had his first rival killed when he was 13, had him executed. He condoned a mass murder of a city, Novgorod, thinking they'd defect to a rival country in a time of war. Some people have tried to justify what he did, saying that he was facing slave raids in Russia, and he had to put down any hint of rebellion to consolidate his borders. But one of the most violent people I think you could possibly live under. So he's called Terrible in the West, Ivan the Terrible, called Ivan the Great in Russia, seen as a national hero. But, yeah, use violence to govern the same way that others would use tax collection or things like that to rule their nation.
Well, that's the deal. You can oppress and coerce people your way. And of course, we saw this with Saddam Hussein, the best form of coercion, just start, you know, killing your political opponents. And next thing you know, you hear the entire arena yelling, long live Saddam, right? Saddam Hussein. The Ottoman Sultan, Ibrahim the First.
Yeah, so this is interesting for me because I studied the Ottoman Empire.
Not great
job prospects in that field, but
right.
He was sultan in the 1600s, and same thing. It's a dynasty. Your son needs to be on the throne to keep the dynasty going, regardless of how mentally well or mentally ill he is. He would practice archery on his court subjects. He liked large women and ordered his advisors that the largest woman in the empire be found and added to his harem. They found mm-hmm. someone who weighed 400 pounds, which is very big at the time. And
it's big now, too, by the way.
Yeah, we're, you know, some states, that's almost normal. But and he had almost everyone in his harem drowned and executed. And in that chapter, I get into the whole background of how a crazy system of government like this functions and how to make sense of it. But, yeah, another example of why I'm glad that monarchies still don't exist anymore. The only one that's really left is North Korea, but glad that kings and queens are only figureheads at this point.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Speaking of which, King George III of England.
If there's a hero in this book, it would be him and Ludwig of Bavaria. So King George III, he probably had a blood disease called porphyria. He would have long conversations with the dead and have debates and sometimes seem to be losing those debates. He planted a stake into the ground, according to one account, a beef stake, and thought it could grow into a tree that had stakes hanging off of them. But he's not the villain that maybe a lot of us think in America due to the Revolutionary War history. He was a patron of the arts. He funded Baroque music because it helped calm him down and patronize other musicians. And there wasn't some sort of evil that emerged from his illness. So I think that's a point in the book that mental illness, of course, does not make you a bad person. Some of our greatest wartime heroes like Winston Churchill or Abraham Lincoln suffered depression. It's more that it takes the governors off and it really shows who you are underneath, whether for good or for evil.
Well, and especially when it comes to power, if I can find a reason to get the people behind my reason to invalidate you and get you out of the way, all I got to do is just question your sanity, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Among other things, and also be in a position to where, after questioning said sanity, you do not become a subject of the king's ire and off with your head. Because then that rebellion is short-lived. Several others that are mentioned in the book. This is a great read, very interesting, you know, what Scott has done for us in noting history's most insane rulers. And after reading it, you'll understand why. Scott Rang, thank you for being with us. Have a great day.
Recover Now is a national campaign aimed at the education and awareness of the devastating effects of opioid and heroin abuse and curbing drug and alcohol addiction in the United States. Recover Now is sponsored by treatment facilities nationwide. Many of them have been where you are, and they want to help by spreading a message of hope and recovery. They're working hand in hand with major insurance companies nationwide that can help you or a loved one get clean in 7 to 30 days. Recover Now is embarking on a national outreach campaign on TV and radio to promote anti-addiction messages. So if you, a loved one, or someone you know has a problem with drugs or alcohol, do not wait. A new life for you could be 30 days away. Call us right now. I promise this call can change your life. Sponsored by the Detox and Treatment Helpline.
800-493-4620. 800-493-4620. That's 800-493-4620.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
They're going in the right direction, but still elevated. Fewer than 2 million American unemployment claims were filed last week, the lowest weekly total in over 2 months since the pandemic began. About 1.87 million workers filed the first-time claims last week, and that's 250,000 fewer than the previous week. The total number of people claiming benefits as of last week, just under 30 million, and that was a decrease of about 1 million from the week before, suggesting some people are getting back to work despite the ongoing pandemic. Former President Barack Obama speaking out about the George Floyd protests.
I'm urging every mayor in this country to review your use of force policies with members of your community.
And former President Jimmy Carter says people of moral conscience have to stand up and say no to a racially discriminatory police and justice system. And this is USA Radio News.
In today's world, violent crime can victimize anyone, anytime. When violent crime confronts you, will you be able to protect yourself and your loved ones? For personal protection training, there's none better than Front Sight, the world's premier firearms training facility near Las Vegas, Nevada. Learn firearm skills from Front Sight's world-class instructors, led by Front Sight's founder and director, Dr. Ignatius Piazza. Whether you're in law enforcement, the military, or a private citizen, after your first firearm training course at Front Sight, you'll leave with skills that surpass 99% of the gun owners population guaranteed. And now you and your family can train at Front Sight free of charge. Yes, free. Go now to frontsight.com/radio to secure a $2,000 four-day defensive handgun course. Absolutely free with no catch. Enter frontsight.com/radio. Act now before these free courses are all taken. Secure your free four-day course at frontsight.com/radio. Front Sight, America's gun training destination.
Liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. What more could you want? Bill Martinez live. Turn it up.
You, I've had enough of this goo-goo and gaga, huh? Look, let's get down to the facts, the truth, the matter, and life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness. More life, more liberty, more happiness. Why not? Let's join that parade, the parade that's going on across the country right now. The destruction of our democratic republic is a whole nother discussion, but we're going to talk about a new book titled Night of the Assassins. This is the untold story of Hitler's plot to kill FDR, Churchill, and Stalin. This is being presented by the best-selling author Howard Bloom, who joins us now. Howard, welcome to the show. Good to have you with us.
Good to speak with you.
Well, the Night of the Assassins, this story, what drew you? I mean, I've heard of this plot before, and boy, you've given us a good recount here. But, you know, personally, what kept you up at night that you said, look, I got to do this. I've got to write this story.
I came across a press conference that FDR, President Franklin Delano Roosevelt, gave in the Oval Office when he came back from the Tehran Conference in 1943, where he met with Churchill and Stalin. They met to discuss and plan D-Day. He comes back on December 17th, 1943. The press are assembled in the Oval Office, and he's talking, and halfway through the conference, he says, "We had some security problems. I had to move from the American legation to the Russian embassy for safety reasons because there were some Nazi assassins on the loose." And he says, he gives a laugh, and then he says, quote, "It would have been a pretty good haul if they could have gotten all three of us."
Exactly.
And the press joins in and laughs, and then it's just dropped. That no one follows up. They start talking about China, and for years there were rumors going around, and then 60 years later, the Russian security services released classified documents, accounts of what really happened in Tehran, and they produced an agent who had been there working with the Americans. I took this information and then went to the memoirs of the people involved, to the British archives, the American archives, the German archives, and I was able to put together this story of this covert plot to kill the three Allied leaders, FDR, Churchill, and Stalin, in one coordinated daring raid at the Tehran conference. I was able to find out that the assassins were trained SS men led by a man the Allies identified as the most dangerous man in Europe. And one man, Mike Riley, FDR's Secret Service agent, had to team up with the Russians to prevent this. He's really the hero of this story.
Mm-hmm. Wow, FDR is correct. I mean, could you imagine how history would have been rewritten if you had these three leaders taken out by the Nazis? I mean, D-Day would never have happened.
Right. I mean, this week is the 76th anniversary of D-Day, and this is where they met to discuss it. This is the first time they ever met in the same room, the three Allied leaders, and it was a top-secret meeting, but through a German spy, an agent whose information they had bought. They had bought for a fantastic sum, £20,000 at that time. He was paid with counterfeit money the Germans gave him, and he disclosed where this mission was taking place and when, and yet they still had to come up with a plan.
Exactly. Well, I got to tell you, you know, when you read the story of FDR, I mean, he's on the water. I mean, nobody really knows where he's at, going, to the Middle East for this critical meeting. And what was he on a ship for, was it a couple months or something to get over there, right? I mean, it was an extended period of time. And when you read that, you're wondering, gosh, you know, how he could have made it without getting blown out of the water is one part of the story. I mean, there is a lot of things that had to happen right in order for these three to get together. That's just one of the things potentially that could have gone wrong.
Right. You mentioned that ship he went across on the USS Iowa as a top secret voyage to get to North Africa, and from there he'll fly to Cairo and then on to Tehran. But across in the Atlantic, a torpedo comes right across the bow of the USS Iowa while FDR is on deck with the Joint Chiefs of Staff. It just misses. And what's so interesting about that, it was fired by an American ship.
Yes.
It was a training exercise, and they were sighting the boat, and they thought they had loaded a dummy torpedo, but it actually was a live charge, and that could have also changed history. Mm-hmm. One accident after another.
Friendly fire takes out. Yeah, friendly fire takes out the president and his accompanying party. You imagine? How did they discover, Howard, that it was a live round as opposed to a dummy round?
They didn't discover it was too late until it blew up in the water.
It actually blew up, and they said, "Oh my God! Thank God! Thank God we're bad! Thank God we're bad shots!" Right?
Yeah, I mean, the captain in charge of the vessel was removed by the Navy. It was a major scandal in the U.S. Navy.
Wow! Could you imagine? And of course, today, once because of the technology and all the laser technology, everything involved, you release a live round, it hits its mark. I mean, you're not going to miss it, you know?
And that was just one of the things that were working against the Allies. You know, where the decision to hold this meeting in Tehran, at first FDR wants to have it in Fairbanks, Alaska. Stalin vetoes this. then FDR suggests a ship at sea, and again, Stalin doesn't want to go along. Churchill very quixotically talks about three tents in the desert in the Middle East, and Stalin doesn't even respond to that. Stalin says, Tehran, of all the cities you could have picked, it seems since 1940, the Nazis have been sending covert agents into Iran. They have a whole network of safe houses, of transmitters. And 3 months before the Tehran conference, the Nazis have been sending commandos into the city to sabotage lend-lease arm shipments that were going to Russia. They had a whole aerial insertion network set up from a secret air base in Crimea. And this, everything fell into place. The Germans couldn't believe. They said their luck. The operational gods had smiled on them. They actually thought that this impossible mission would succeed. And they thought so even more. The man they had leading it, Otto Skorzeny, who was a ruthless SS man, the man who ran their school of special operations, he succeeded in rescuing Mussolini against all odds from a mountaintop fortress 7,000 feet in the Italian Alps. A glider raid, he was going to do the impossible again.
Well, you know, here you've got these three iconic figures, FDR, Churchill, and Stalin. Churchill, what about his road to Tehran?
Churchill was very eager to have this meeting because he did not want D-Day to go across the channel and through France. The U.S. believed that the shortest distance between two lines, between two points, is a straight line. Mm-hmm. Let's go through the channel, Normandy, right to Berlin. Churchill, for his own reasons, he wanted to control the Mediterranean, wanted us to go through the soft underbelly of Europe, as he called it, through mm-hmm. Italy and France. And Stalin, just after the casualties, a horrific number of Russians who were killed at the Battle of Stalingrad, the great Russian victory,
exactly.
He wanted to just get relief as soon as possible. And when they get to Tehran, there's a lot of animosity between the three leaders.
I'll tell you what, let's hit the pause button. We'll bring that into focus when we come back. We're going to quick break. We've got more from Howard Bloom. We're talking about Night of the Assassins here on Bill Martinez Live.
Over the years, there have been so many people who have suffered from not having life insurance. It's not that they didn't care about protecting their loved ones. It's just that they didn't know why it's so important. If you died, how would your family pay the bills, the mortgage, let alone plan for a better future? This is what life insurance is all about, providing for your family even after you're gone. And level term coverage is the best option. It's not expensive and it's not complicated. You need 10 to 12 times your income in life insurance protection, and you need to call ReliaQuote. They represent 15 of the top life insurance providers, and their agents are experts at helping you find the right policy for your needs. Protect your family. Give ReliaQuote a call for a free no-hassle quote now. 800-478-0793. 800-478-0793. 800-478-0793. That's 800-478-0793.
Packages start at $39.99 a month with signed agreement. Restrictions apply. Speak to a representative for complete offer details. See Vivint.com for license details.
Homeowners, if you're looking for the best in home security and smart home technology at a price you can actually afford, we have great news. You can now get Vivint's award-winning smart home security systems starting at about a dollar a day. U.S. News and World Report has recognized Vivint as the top home security system of 2019, calling the Vivint system the best for a complete package of home security and automation, the best pro-installed home security system, and the best home security system with cameras. And right now, you can get Vivint's best home security and smart technology for about a dollar a day. Plus, get free professional installation. Protect your home and loved ones for as little as a dollar a day. Call right now for your home security consultation.
800-962-6082. 800-962-6082. That's 800-962-6082.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Attention homeowners that have ever had a broken appliance. That's a joke, right? We've all had broken appliances. I own a home just like you and have found a way for as little as a dollar a day to have all the major appliances in my home on a warranty plan. They're guaranteed to be fixed or replaced. You know how expensive an air conditioner, the heating system, a washing machine, dryer, water heater, or refrigerator can be. For about a dollar a day, all your major appliances are protected in case they break. Unless you're Daddy Warbucks or the Monopoly guy and you don't care about money, call my friends at the Home Service Club now and get a warranty on your major appliances. It's a free call, and the first month is free. But be one of the first 25 people to call within the next 10 minutes.
800-825-6796. 800-825-6796. 800-825-6796. Again, that's 800-825-6796.
Values, faith, service, they still exist here. Bill Martinez, live.
We are just the way you like to hear from us 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. We're back with you 14 minutes before the top of the hour. The New York Times bestselling author of Dark Invasion and The Last Good Night, Howard Bloom, is with us, and we're talking about his latest book, Night of the Assassins, the untold story of Hitler's plot to kill FDR, Churchill, and Stalin. You said before we went to break, Howard, that things got a little tense there between the three. It wasn't like it was a Kumbaya night in Tehran.
No, there was some animosity, particularly between Churchill and Stalin. And on their second night there, Stalin hosts a dinner at the Russian embassy, and he gives a toast. And in this toast, Stalin says that after the war, the first thing that must be done is kill 50,000 of the German high command, the German officer class. He says that's the only way peacefully possible. Churchill hears this, and he becomes very indignant. He rises to his feet. He says, the British people will never stand for this. I will never stand for this. And it looks like they're going to have a major confrontation. And FDR tries to ameliorate the situation. And he says sarcastically, well, how about we compromise and we only execute 49,000 of the German high command. When Churchill hears this, he storms out of the room. He goes next door. He's sitting there in the dark. He's sitting there for a couple of moments, and suddenly he feels a hand on his shoulder. And he turns around, and it's Joe Stalin, who says through the interpreter that he was only kidding. But Churchill, as he writes in his memoirs, didn't believe it. So there was a great deal of animosity, and it made the playing of D-Day rather difficult.
Exactly. Well, imagine, I mean, here's a guy who, he's already killed millions of people, and you're thinking of just kidding about, you know, killing some more, and in this particular case, Germans. I mean, let's not even consider about a, you know, any kind of due process or, you know, holding them accountable the right way so that, you know, you come to, you know, proper, you know, legal conclusions on this before you annihilate someone.
Yeah. And what's particularly stunning, the next night, it's Churchill's turn to reciprocate, and he's hosting his birthday dinner at the British embassy, and the three Allied leaders are there, shoulder to shoulder. They're singing happy birthday. And just at that very moment, the six assassins are trying to make their way to the British embassy to sneak through the water tunnels to execute them, to kill them in cold blood.
So as this is going on, these assassins are moving forward, and they've got the crosshairs on these three leaders, right?
They come very close. You know, Tehran is a city of a million people, and there are many places to hide, and they move from place to place as Mike Riley, the head of FDR's Secret Service detail, working with Russian troops. There were more Russian troops there than American and Secret Service agents. And he's working with them. They're trying to go house to house through the bazaars. And finally, at the last moment, they offer a reward, and this gets some Iranians to turn on these German agents, and they're betrayed. And how it all happens, well, you can read that in Night of the Assassins.
Exactly. That's exactly. So now that we've got you on the edge of your seat, the only way you can come off is you've got to get your hands on the book, Night of the Assassins. But what a great story. And Mike Riley, unheralded hero in all this.
Yes. I mean, he is, as you know, a former college football star. He's just 33 years old when the Tehran conference takes place. As he describes himself, he's an Irish cop with more brawn than brains. But he's a hero. He's very brave, and he calls FDR the boss. And that's a term of affection and respect. And he realizes that FDR is a sitting target, and
yes,
FDR is paralyzed. He's going to have to put his life on the line to defend him. And also, FDR is the commander-in-chief in the war where the United States, for the first time, bombers can be sent over the White House, paratroopers can drop from the sky. At one point, Riley is in a discussion. They're thinking of painting the White House black so that enemy bombers coming in, flying over the Potomac, won't be able to sight it so easily. This is a very serious discussion.
Right.
He's up against tremendous obstacles. And then when he goes to Tehran, Riley goes there to lead the first reconnaissance mission just 10 days before the conference. He has to look it up in an atlas. He really didn't know where Tehran even was on the map. And he gets there, and he discovers a city where there's an invisible enemy, very much like today. The typhoid is raging through the city. And he feels that FDR can also, his immune system is so weak from his polio, he'll succumb to typhoid.
Wow. I mean, this is amazing. And here is, now what was Riley's official position in the administration?
2 days after Pearl Harbor, at the age of just 31, he becomes the head of FDR Secret Service Detail. He had been in Washington, D.C., going to law school. He really was at the bottom of his class, and it was expensive. So he dropped out and got a job in the Treasury Department, moves around in there. They make him a Treasury investigator. Finally, he gets assigned to the Secret Service. He's there for about 3 months, and then Pearl Harbor takes place, and they make him head of the detail.
Wow. That's amazing. And to hear the way you share the story of someone in charge of the president, his immediate detail, and logistically to be left, you know, so naked, I mean, in terms of information and logistics, with the president of the United States going to this top secret meeting, I mean, that's unheard of. That wouldn't happen today, would it?
No, and it didn't happen at Yalta either. One of the things Riley discovers once he gets to Iran, there was a German agent there in place who had a mistress, a young woman, and this mistress was also having a relationship with an American soldier who played a trombone in a local band.
It's always the musician. It's never the butler. I keep telling people, it's the musician.
And this soldier was also a military intelligence agent. I mean, you couldn't make this stuff up. And he was reporting on her pillow talk. And Riley, till he gets to the city, doesn't find this out and was able to use this information to get closer and closer.
Oh, what an incredible story. And thank God
I guess thank God for mistresses and trombone players. Otherwise, God only knows.
That's the name of my next book.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, well, we can write that down. Yeah, thank God for mistresses and trombone players. Oh my God, this is and the thing is, you know, we chuckle about it today. This is real stuff. And what was in the balance here? You know, the D-Day operation. You get these three major leaders coming together. And why did FDR seem to be so trusting of Stalin?
FDR had this large ambition. He envisioned a sort of United Nations after the war, sort of the big four powers making peace possible. This was his vision that he was going to leave to mankind. He was a bit naive in trusting Stalin. Churchill was a lot more pragmatic. But FDR went out of his way to try to appease Stalin at the Tehran conference.
And, of course, we know George Patton, I mean, he didn't want to stop. He wanted to go all the way to Russia. And you talk about history being rewritten. If they hadn't stopped George Patton, I think we'd probably have a different outcome and there'd be a different Russia today.
Or if the Russians hadn't stopped the Germans at Stalingrad, losing something like 5 million men, you know, history might have been different too.
Exactly,
that was one of the key events in the war.
So many moving parts, so critical that any one of them would have altered, and boy, we'd be living in a different world altogether. Even this day, like this, what an incredible story. So the assassins moving along, they're exposed. These three leaders are saved. And so what is the final outcome, not to take people off the edge of their seat, because they need to read your book, Night of the Assassins.
I'm not giving too much away, saying we win the war.
No.
Churchill and Stalin survive.
Exactly. But upon their departure and the meeting, just sum up, that we do have some agreement here. Compromises take place, and of course we do win the war. But what was the sentiment between the three leaders upon the departure and the conclusion of the secret meeting?
When they leave, they're very thankful that they're able to escape with their lives. Churchill at one point says, if it had been planned to put him in the most jeopardy as possible, it couldn't have been better planned to put him that way. He says that sarcastically. FDR says it would have been a pretty good haul. Stalin writes a letter to FDR and saying, I'm so glad that things worked out well. Thank you for all your help. And history has always wondered what that referred to. It could refer to Operation Long Jump that was thwarted by the Russian and American cooperation. They were able to move on and win the war. It was still going to go on a bit longer, but now the outcome seems assured.
Well, no doubt Stalin must have come away from the meeting with FDR thinking that he was in better standing with the President of the United States, and the future, as far as a controlling future on the Russian side, seemed to be well in hand, don't you think?
Yes. I mean, he left that meeting thinking that he had FDR wrapped around his little finger. And FDR wanted something. He wanted this peace in the future, and he was willing to make compromises.
Exactly.
Churchill, at the same time, wanted to maintain the British Empire, but that was a losing proposition.
Howard Bloom, great book, Night of the Assassins, linked on our website.
It's not high with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Frustrated?